friends, and welcome to episode 41 of Did You Bring the Hummus podcast. I'm Kimberly, your host, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Did You Bring the Hummus is a podcast to help you go vegan. This season, I'm sharing new episodes every Monday discussing all things vegan. Most importantly, we'll talk about how to embrace this meaningful decision with fervor and fun. Episodes post every Monday on your favorite podcast app. Before we get started, I have one very important question for you. Did you bring the hummus? Did you know that I offer one-on-one coaching? If you've found inspiration in these episodes but want more accountability or help guiding you through exploring a vegan lifestyle, check out my website for more information. In the last episode, I challenged you to try out some plant milks. How did it go? Which one is your favorite? This week, check the label on your favorite household or beauty product. Is it cruelty-free and vegan? Check out some blogs I've linked in the show notes for more information. Today, I am joined by Laura Rodriguez. Laura has been a whole food plant-based vegan for almost 6 years and has certifications in plant-based nutrition by the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies on eCornell and a plant-based chef. She currently works as knowledge coordinator at OM Wellness Center in Monterrey, Mexico, creating community events and learning experiences related to health and well-being. We have a good time talking about the creativity veganism allows us. Laura shares lots of resources and tips, both for food and beauty products, and tells us about life as a vegan in the barbecue capital of Mexico. Hey, Laura. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for the invite. Happy to be here.
I am so glad to have you here. As we get started in all Did You Bring the Hummus episodes, I would love to first hear about your vegan journey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is actually really interesting because I was one of those people that I said, I'm never going to be vegan. I was one of those people that just didn't understand veganism in general. It blew my mind, like how that, I mean, it's so different from what I grew up with that I never thought that it would be possible for me. And I never even considered it in my life plan. Like I was like, that's never going to happen for me. But I was really interested in health and wellness and all that. And I started watching some documentaries on Netflix. And I know that it sounds very like, I know that probably a lot of people like these documentaries, like What the Health and stuff, like they were kind of like the catalyst to their vegan journey. And to me, it was a documentary called Food Matters. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the first kind of like spark, I guess. I mean, that kind of like started me on this whole journey. That documentary didn't talk explicitly about veganism. It was more about like health in general and the relationship between chronic disease and the food we're eating and stuff like that. I just thought that, you know, food was something that like, oh, like it's just, you know, I didn't think that it was related to like heart disease or diabetes or cancer and stuff like that. And I thought those things were hereditary or genetic or just like bad luck. Mm-hmm. And I started getting into that and I was like, okay, like I might make some changes, but I'm not going to go vegan. And that was in December 2016 that I watched that documentary. And then on starting 2017, I started researching a bit more. And it wasn't until like March or April that I stumbled upon Forks Over Knives, which is the work of Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who wrote the China study, and he kind of like explained the whole relationship between animal protein and cancer. And I was just blown away. And, you know, my grandpa, he died of cancer, and like a lot of people I know like have like heart disease and stuff like that. And it was incredible to me to listen to that. And I was like, okay. And I remember watching that documentary and then like sitting there, like contemplating my life for like 20 minutes. And I was like, okay, need to do something about it. Like I cannot have this information and then just like continue with my life as I was living it. And I was like, okay. So I remember that I marched down the stairs and I was like, Mom, I'm not gonna eat meat anymore. And she was like freaking out. She's like, what do you mean? Like you're gonna die. Like no, like that's like hippie stuff. Like if you, and I'm like, no, like I'm not gonna like go vegan. I'm just gonna like reduce my consumption of animal products. And she was like, no, like you're gonna have malnutrition and stuff like that. And I was like, okay. So she thought I was going crazy and that it was just a phase and stuff like that. And then I started researching more. I started reading books like The China Study, How Not to Die, Eat to Live by Joel Fuhrman. And I started realizing that there's a lot of scientific evidence to back this up. And initially, like, I didn't start my vegan journey. I started it because of the health concerns. And then I obviously watched Cowspiracy and Earthlings and all those movies that talk about the environmental impact and also the aggression toward the animals. And that's obviously a huge concern. And I was like, that when I watched those, it's like, and also I remember this guy, his name is escaping me now, bald Gary Yourofsky. I watched the best speech you'll ever hear, something like that, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it just made so much sense to me. It's like, okay, like, yes, like, why are we killing animals for food when we can obtain all of our nutrition from plants? It's like, we think that animals don't create nutrition out of thin air. They get it from plants and then they store it and concentrate it, but they don't create it. So it's like, let's go to the source, cut out the middlemen. And so I started gradually phasing out of animal protein. I had no intention of being full-time vegan, like no intention, because I was like, how am I going to survive at weddings and at, like, I don't know, events and restaurants? Because, like, back then there was nothing. Like, there was like one vegan restaurant in town, three vegan restaurants in town. But like, there, it was still like at no restaurant, like there were no options. There was a vegetarian option at most. Mm. And it was like full of like cheese and stuff. So yeah, not too vegan friendly. And cause I a little context, I'm from Monterrey, Mexico, and there's a lot of meat consumption here. Like, it's crazy that we have these carne asada, which is like a barbecue, and it's like every weekend. I mean, it's very common. I mean, not like me or in my circle, but like in general, like, it's very common to like have them a lot. The meat consumption here is very high. And obviously, as you can imagine, the heart disease and all of those things are also extremely high. So, I mean, obviously people have not connected the dots yet, but we're getting there. And eventually, a few months into like my, you know, phasing out, I realized that I was 100% vegan. Like, I hadn't consumed, because I never wanted to like go vegetarian or pescatarian or anything. Cause like, what I wanted to let go of was the dairy and the eggs first, like, and obviously the animal protein, but those were like, no, like, after I learned like the dairy industry and like egg industry, like how horrible, like the cruelty and also the, how disgusting it is. I mean, honestly, I was like, okay, no. And so I just eventually realized that I'm like, wow, I'm doing it and I feel amazing. Like, I had a lot of health conditions and they kind of started subsiding. Like, I had chronic sinusitis and allergies and like terrible for like all my teens. It was like, and like, since I was little, I was always like stuffy nose and like chronic, like coughing and sneezing and blowing my nose and stuff like that. And then like allergy season came and nothing. And I was like, wow, like, first time in my life that I'm not like, you know, like drugging myself with Claritin and like all those things. Had like really bad acne and like that went away as well. I mean, that was a bit of a larger process. I mean, it wasn't so much the veganism. I mean, obviously stopping consuming like dairy is huge, but it was more after, when I got into like medical medium and his protocols and detox and all that stuff, eating high fruit diet and lots of vegetables and fresh fruits. That's how it happened. And here we are almost 6 years later.
Very nice. Do you think that you didn't want to go vegetarian or vegan because you didn't want the label?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It took me a while even to identify as vegan. Like, it took me about 2 years to identify as vegan. Like, because it was the stigma, like the stigma around here, like, it's huge. Like, if like, oh, you're vegan. And still now, even though it's like more common and not common, because I don't know, I still don't know a lot of vegan people. Like, I have vegan friends and stuff, but it's not like that list has grown. Like, it's the same people that I was friends with like 5 years ago, but it's become more mainstream. So like, it's rare now. Everyone's like, oh, how do you survive at restaurants? And it's like, I have never struggled at a restaurant. Like, it's, they always have an option. Mm-hmm. They always have an option, always have like something that they can prepare for you. You would have to go to like a steakhouse or like somewhere that's like really specific. We have gabarito here, which is goat. Disgusting. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's like, that's very common. And like, I think that if I go there, so like Casa del Cabrito, which is house of the goats, and like, I would struggle there, obviously. But because like, yeah, but I feel like in most restaurants, it's, there's always an option. Even some like have a whole like vegan menu. It's been very progressive here in that sense. But yeah.
Well, that's really awesome that despite the way the word vegan is still kind of perceived, that the restaurants, and I understand there's like a monetary reason mm-hmm. for it, exactly. but that they are open to having not just where you have to piece sides together to create yeah. a meal, but like mm-hmm. you have at least one option to choose from. So that's amazing. And I think it speaks to the power of what we're all doing, the mm-hmm. conversations we're having, the approach exactly. we take when we're out to restaurants, where we mm-hmm. make it not so difficult. And we're mm-hmm. not like, I want to constantly like scream from the rooftops, mm-hmm. like, just get it already. Like, why yeah. are you not making the connection?
Yeah.
But so few people respond to that.
Yeah.
So it's we need process. Another way. And so another way is that we have one-on-one conversations, maybe with a restaurant owner, or yeah. we have one-on-one conversations with our friends, or we do mm-hmm. things like you and I are doing right now, a yeah. conversation for lots of people to hear.
Exactly.
That's really helpful. And we just plant those seeds. Yeah. And show yeah. them that we aren't like mean in your face, showing no. graphic things all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like I'm not the vegan police. It's like a lot of people, like when they like eat meat in front of me, they're like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I'm not the vegan police. Like, I'm not gonna come for you. Like, it's all right. good. Like, cause I feel like a lot of people do feel might feel intimidated, or might feel like, like we're going to judge them and stuff. And it's not, we've all been there. Like we weren't born vegan. I mean, I know that some people like Nimai Delgado and other people like have been born vegan, but like, I mean, I wasn't, and I was like the complete opposite of like what I am right now. So it's like, I understand that. And I remember that there's this guy who's a very, like, very big, like, animal activist. And I remember that I was at a party in high school, and he was there, and he was like, oh, like, you can't like say that you love animals if you aren't vegan and stuff like that. And like all that stuff. And it was like very graphic and very intense. And I mean, I know that he was like, when you first find out about like, it's like, you want to scream it from the rooftops, and you're yeah. angry, and you're like, how are people like still like blind and stuff like that? But it's, and he was like telling me like that, and it went in one ear and went out the other. Like yeah. it was just, it did not make the click. Cause it's like, it's all about like planting seeds. And I always say, like, if someone's here, you can't bring them over here. Like, you have to like bring them over here. Like, okay, yeah. like, oh, like, what about you do like a meatless Monday, or like, I don't know, like try this oatmeal recipe, or like this vegan pancake recipe. Like, there's so many things that you can like sneak in there mm-hmm. where like people are gonna like start eating a little bit more vegan. But yeah. Like, you can't ask someone to like drop everything overnight. I even think that that's not sustainable. I mean, unless you have a chronic disease and like you really need to like lower your cholesterol, or like, I don't know, lower your blood sugar or whatever. Like, in those cases, like making the extreme change can be like helpful for your, you know, health. If you're just trying to make the change for yourself, I mean, I think that gradual incremental changes are definitely what kept me here. For me, because I put no pressure on myself, like absolutely no pressure on myself. I was like, I'm just gonna do this like slowly. I'm gonna like be compassionate with myself. It's like a lot of vegans are like compassionate toward the animals, but like they're not compassionate with themselves or with other people. And it's mm-hmm. like, we have to understand that we don't live in a vegan world yet. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like we have to like adapt to the fact that like most places will not have vegan options, or like very limited. Most people are not and will not be vegan. So it's like all these things that we just have to like do what we can and mm-hmm. take like slow, steady steps. Because I feel like if we want to like go all in and make someone like change drastically, that it can be a little bit more intense.
Yeah. And I think you're even a really great example of that, where you said, well, I'm just going to do this and here's my timeline.
Yeah.
And then
I had no pressure to be vegan or any label. It was like, it just happened naturally.
Yeah. And then you, one day, like you said, I realized, oh, I've been vegan for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, exactly. And now it's just what you do, right?
Exactly.
It's just as normal as the way life was before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. It just became normal. And like, I even went to study abroad for a semester to France. And you can imagine the cheese. The first thing I memorized was like, sans fromage, without cheese. Like, they looked at me like I had four eyes when I ordered like anything in France without cheese. It's like, yeah, it was insane.
Because like, what?
I mean, in Mexico, they're very flexible. In Mexico and in the States, like, they're flexible. It's like, oh, like, you can take this off and like without this and with this and stuff. I mean, but in France, you can't do that. Like, you cannot modify anything on the menu. Like, it's how it is. Like, that's it. Like, for example, I was at a restaurant here. And we ordered like an artichoke, and it had like a dip that had dairy. And I asked them, like, do you have any other dip that we could use? And they're like they literally, like, the world closed. Like, they don't, it's crazy. Like, how, like, if you're not on this, like, cause I would think like, oh, I mean, if you have almonds, if you have cashews, if you have sunflower seeds, Dijon mustard, like, there's so many different dips that you can do. And they were like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? Like, they were like, I don't know what to offer you. And I'm like, I'm like, I have a suggestion. Like, how about like Dijon mustard, a little bit of olive oil, balsamic, lemon, pepper, and salt. And like, they were okay. And they brought out like the most delicious dip, and like, they made it like with my suggestions. And it's like, that's awesome. Like, that's so cool. They should even keep it on the menu because it was so good with the artichoke. So it's like these things that, you know, they seem super difficult. Like, people are like, what do you eat? And it's like, it's like, I live because they think that I eat like lettuce all day, but it's like, there are so many options now. And it's like Dr. John McDougall, I love like what he says, like, when you're on animal products, like, you give up four things. Like, I mean, like the animals and like dairy and eggs. And it's like, when you're vegan, you have like so many options, like so many options of food, so much variety, so many things that you can make. I mean, so many different cuisines. Like, I always used to eat like the traditional Mexican food. And now I like eat like Thai one day, and I don't know, like Italian and Indian and like Moroccan food. And like, there's so many different varieties of food that you can eat. To make a lifestyle sustainable, you have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not sustainable if you don't enjoy it. And if like, it's too difficult for you or something, because people are like, like, it's so difficult and it's so expensive. And I always break that myth, because when I was studying abroad in France, I literally spent a week, like, about anywhere from 15 to 25 euros in my entire supermarket. Wow. That's like very similar to dollars. And it's like, it was crazy. Like, I don't even get those prices like here in Mexico. Cause like, I bought everything from like farmers markets, and I bought everything in bulk. I didn't like, I really like was like whole food, plant-based. Like, I didn't even buy tofu, because like, it was like a treat. I bought it like two times, and I didn't buy any like processed vegan, like the vegan mayo and stuff like that, because that's when it can get expensive. Yeah. If you focus on the vegan butter and Beyond Meat and like the vegan chicken, like vegan ice cream, like those, which I love, like, I'm like, vegan ice cream is like my weakness. Mm-hmm. So it's like, everywhere I go, it's like, I always look for the ice cream everywhere. Like, I still dream of a place in LA called Yoga Earth. Like, I think about that ice cream every single day. Like, it's like, I want to go back just for that. It's like my weakness. But it's like, if you focus on whole foods, it's so cheap. Like, my breakfast, which was like every day I had oatmeal, and the 1 kilogram of oats, and like, that was like 1 euro. My rice milk was 1 euro, and like bananas, I don't know how much, but it's like That's like my entire breakfast for the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh, like it's expensive. Like if you focus on vegan junk food, which is like awesome once in a while,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, if you're in a budget, like it's always like focus on whole foods, like focus on buying the beans in bulk and like making your own veggie burgers,
yeah.
And making your own like bowls or your own juices or smoothies and stuff like that. Cause I know that there's places that smoothies are like super expensive,
mm-hmm.
but it's like you can make them at home easily.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how like depending on what type of vegan food you're consuming, it's like the prices can skyrocket or like mm-hmm. they can like be really like if you just I prefer to like make my own things. I'm very DIY, so I prefer to like make my own milk, like from hemp seeds or cashews. I used to make my own peanut butter, but honestly I don't have the time anymore. And it's like, no, it's
yeah.
like the difference is like, I would much rather pay the difference than be like hours. Like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
And what else? Like the cheeses, I always make my own cheese. Like always, it's super simple. It's like cashews, tapioca starch, and like lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, like yeah, it's like a recipe from Nora Cooks Vegan, which I love her recipes. She makes a really good lasagna that I actually made when I was studying abroad in France, and it was approved by Italian friends. So
oh wow.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah,
so it's like you can please, like it's very like a people pleasing food. Like if you really like focus on like, you know, the flavor, the textures, like all that stuff, like we have this thing where we have like martesitos, like martes is Tuesday, and like Tuesdaycitos, like we always have these like itos where it's like small. I don't know, mm-hmm. it's weird. but like we, my friends and I, like we rotate like houses. So it's like one day, like it's in my house, and another Tuesday, it's at a friend's house. And whenever it's at my house, like everyone's always super excited because it's like I always make something very creative and very, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, like. Put a lot of effort into it. But it's like then my friends are like realizing that, oh, like veganism isn't just like broccoli. So
mm-hmm.
it's an opportunity to like, you know, get more people to eat like more plants and eat less animals. And like it's always about eating more plants. When you mm-hmm. tell people to eat less, it's like they immediately get on the defense.
Right. It's a deprivation from that mm-hmm. perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, because it's like if someone's telling you like, oh, like you can't eat this, it's like, why not?
Yeah.
And like you get like defensive and you're like, what do you mean that I can't eat my steak anymore? And it's like, no, I'm not telling you to not eat your steak anymore. I'm just telling you to start with vegetables and start with like I don't know, whole grains and stuff like that, and then like you eat your meat at the end, so that way your stomach is already full and like naturally you're going to consume less. But like psychologically, it's like less overwhelming. So if you tell someone to eat more plants, it's like, okay, like they're not going to fight you on that.
Yeah.
But if you tell someone to eat less animals, like they might fight you on that because our ancestors,
for sure.
And like it's crazy because.
And where do they get their protein?
I know. And we had the Mexican Lifestyle Medicine Conference here in Mexico last November. And Dr. David Katz came to speak. And I was talking to him about that. Like, what's up with the people, like, about the ancestral diet and stuff? And he's like, I mean, yeah, like, it makes sense to want to eat like our ancestors, except our ancestors ate over 100 grams of fiber a day. Mm. And that's like, I don't even get that. Like, as a vegan, I get like maximum like 70. grams of protein. Like 100 grams is insane. Like it's crazy. Like how?
Right.
And I don't eat any meat or anything that doesn't have fiber. So it's like, how are they making these claims that like they ate all this meat and like all these animal products when like they ate 100 grams of fiber a day? Like,
right.
So yeah, people believe what they want to believe.
That's right. Whatever feeds the narrative that they're hoping to have is definitely where totally. They're going to lean towards. There's mm-hmm. something you've touched on a few times and I want to talk about it, the creativity factor.
Mm-hmm.
So when talking to someone where the main focus of their meal is animals, what I've found, and even thinking back to before I went vegetarian and then vegan, like I didn't know how to cook back then, and I barely ate vegetables. So when I think about that and talking to other people, they're like, but you know, all there is like broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, and peas. Like, how am I supposed to live on that?
No.
But when you, right. And then you get your, you're like, okay, the meat has to be the center. And then there's these couple of vegetables and like maybe, you know, and they're so stuck. And even when you were talking about the restaurant, how like the chef or cook who like, that's their work, right? They do that every day. Couldn't see beyond a dairy dip because like, what else do you dip things in, but something dairy based. And then once you embrace this more vegetable focused or a vegan lifestyle, you're like, oh wait, no, there's a lot more. And there's so many things we can do with that. So tell me about how you found creativity in the food that you're eating.
Yeah. It's actually very interesting because it's very, what helped me a lot was opening my, before I was vegan, I opened up my Instagram and it was like plant-based, and I specified in my bio, like 80% plant-based, 20% like, not plant-based. That lasted like a month. Like after a month, like it was like, I changed it to like 10%. And then like, it was like, okay, like I'm just doing this like full on. And I remember that I was, that for me, getting inspiration from other people is huge. Because it's like, it's impossible to conjure up those recipes and those combinations all on your own. It's like, it's just not possible because it's not something that we've been exposed to. So my first thing that I recommend is recreate your favorite meals. Like if you love mac and cheese, try making a vegan mac and cheese with cashews, or like even like with the vegan cheese. Like I mean, when I first started in 2017, like there were like Daiya and that was it. Now there's like so many brands of like really good vegan cheese. That's like awesome. So like try that and try recreating your foods, and then like get inspiration from other people, like follow blogs, buy cookbooks. It helps me a lot to like follow like the people that, you know, make a lot of like recipes. Just look through my feed and I get inspiration, and like I see something and then I see something else and I make like this combination. Like I'm not a fan of recipes, like I use them very sparingly because like I always like change something, or like I use them like as a base for inspiring and then I like make my own. There are a few things that I do like follow, like for example like the vegan cheese or like stuff like that like you do need like specific measurements. But other than that, it's like very intuitive in the sense that like what helped me a lot, and I need to get back to that, when I was studying abroad, is because I was like in charge of like buying like all my things, and like I was like had all these things going on, and it's like, oh, so what I would do is every Sunday I would sit down, I have like a, in my Instagram, like you save and like you can save them in folders. I have a folder called recipes, and everything that I see food related, I always save it in the recipes favorites. And so every Sunday I would go through my recipes, my saved recipes, and I would be like, oh, like this looks good. And I would like make my menu for the week. And then I would make my supermarket list, and that's it. Like you avoid food waste, because like a lot of times it happens that you buy kind of like the same things every week, but you don't use them. Like you buy cauliflower every week, but maybe that week, like you didn't use it or something. So it always helps to like organize yourself beforehand, and so that you're not, because a lot of people, like if you're not prepared, like the everyday rush kind of like gets you, and then you have like, like I'm in a hurry, and like eat, and then you have to make a decision on what to make, so it's like worse. So it's like basically being prepared. And it will like help you be more organized and like already know like what you're gonna eat on like Monday and Tuesday and like all these days. And I usually always like have lunch and dinner like similar things. Like if I don't know, made something with chickpeas, I might have like a salad for lunch, and then for dinner I might make some tostadas or like some, like I don't know, like make some hummus and like put it in like a sandwich and something. I mean, it's always like kind of like recreating something similar, so that you don't have to prepare like two full meals that day. So
yeah, That I love that idea. I'm a big fan of leftovers for lunch the next day so that I don't have to think, because so many people, I think they don't realize.
Yeah.
We make so many decisions throughout the day.
So many.
And then when we add that we have to make a decision about what we eat three times a day, every day.
It's so much.
And, and if we're also the person who's always cooking all of the meals, it's just, it is a lot. It's we got to be kind to ourselves and and prepare so that we can just there's something ready and we just eat it.
Exactly. And it just makes it easier. It's like making, I love that Dan Buettner, the founder of the Blue Zones, he says is that it's like, make the healthy choice the easy choice. And it's like, yes, because like, if it, like these people in the Blue Zones that live to like over 100 and stuff, like they live there because their lifestyle allows healthy living. Yeah. Cause like they have to walk everywhere. They don't have junk food around. And like, they are in tune with their circadian rhythm because they don't have screens all day and stuff like that. And it's basically like that, like make the easy choice easy for yourself. Cause it's like, if you come home from work and like you're stressed and stuff, like you're not going to be in the mood to like make up some lavish,
right,
you know, I don't know, lasagna or something like that. It's like, you're just going to grab whatever's in the fridge. And like, if what's in the fridge, it's not healthy. So either like meal prepping, or just batch cooking and making, leaving stuff ready. Like, for example, when I make something big, it's like, I know that I'm going to have like that and something else for dinner, like all week or for lunch, or, and it just makes things easier. And it's like, like make things easier for yourself, like by organizing, making supermarket lists so that things are not like, cause that's also what helps keep you in budget. Like if you only buy food that you're going to eat, like, cause that's designated to a particular like recipe or something, you're not going to have food waste.
Yeah. And that is huge. And I also think about how important it is, like you're saying, batch cooking or meal planning, because there's so many times where I've found a few recipes that I love. So I'm like, I'm going to make these this week. And I buy all the ingredients that I need. And then I don't consider what my week actually looks like. And I go into the fridge and nothing is made. So I'm just looking at all these beautiful vegetables and stuff, but I don't have time, or I'm exhausted. So I just can't bring myself to do it. I order a takeout while those beautiful vegetables sit there waiting for me.
Yes, those vegetables are like, it happens to me all the time as well. Like it's just like the everyday life kind of like grabs you at like the worst moment. And there is no, cause like it does take a lot of like energy to like think of like something creative. Cause it's like, if you're not vegan, it's like very easy. Like, oh, I'll have chicken and vegetables and like rice and that's it. For like meatballs and spaghetti, or like it's so, or like a hamburger, like whatever. Like there's so many things that don't require a lot of effort that you're like, oh, I want these like, I don't know, like Asian noodles with like rice super dumplings and stuff like that. Requires more preparation, more time, more energy. And it's like, I mean, I would say like, yes, people, like it's, you might have to invest a little bit more time in the kitchen, but it's like, it's time that you save at the doctor's office, at the, like, there's just so many things that, and it's also like an investment. I mean, I would much rather invest in my health right now and like really like enjoy my life like all the time, instead of like having later on to like be on pills and like deal with like chronic like aches and pains. And it's like, why? Like, no. And we live in this society where it's like, it's considered normal to like get to a certain age and like start like going down. It's like, no, like it's like, it's so like awesome to like enjoy life and like be healthy and all these things, like there's no need.
Yeah. There's this almost this expectation. And I just, I remember even as a kid where it seemed like once people hit a certain age, it was just like they were struggling with, with walking, some kind of chronic disease, or they're on medication. Like every adult in my life was like on medication. And we spend more time dying essentially than we do living.
Yeah. It's and like the,
if we could just eat this food and like, we can have a completely different end to our life.
It's completely different.
We get to enjoy it.
Yeah. Because what happens now is that with all the technology and all the pills and procedures and stuff, like that's cool to have. Like, it's awesome. Like, to have a medical system that's, you know, well prepared for anything. But what happens is that you're prolonging the disease state. So people back then, when there wasn't like that many like junk food restaurants, or like it was hard to find, or like meat wasn't like widely available. What happened is that like people would get sick, but they would get sick like, I don't know, at 80 or 70 and stuff like that. Now people are getting sick like 50s, 40s. Yeah. And it's like they live in this like chronically diseased state for like the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years of their life. And it's like, or even less. Like, what are we doing wrong? And it's like, whenever I go to the States, it's incredible to me to like watch like the like TV. And it's like, first, it's like a commercial of like junk food. And then it's a commercial for a medication. And it's like, what? Like the medication is trying to undo the effects of the junk. It's like, like, it's just so crazy how we think that, you know, that's going to be the solution. And then it's like all the list of side effects, like suicidal thoughts. And it's like, why would he do that? Like, that's, it's mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. When you could just change the way that you're eating.
Yeah.
And I know I say that so easily, but like, we know that there's effort involved in that too, but like,
there's so many factors.
It's that concept of choose your hard, right? Yeah. It's hard to live in a diseased state. Yeah. It's hard to be on pills and constantly going to the doctor and not having energy to be present with the people you love.
Exactly.
Or it's hard to change your view on food and start eating differently. But then once you do,
it's
the energy and the way that the food makes you feel and how you are able to be present and available to those you love. And
I love that.
Yeah. It's just, I love that you're doing that work and that you're encouraging people. So let's talk a little bit about what you actually do.
Okay.
tell me what is the work that you're doing now?
Okay. So there's this place that just opened up I live in Monterrey, Mexico, but there's like even a smaller, like, it's like, for example, LA, like there's, different like parts, like, I don't know, like Orange County and Malibu and like all these different things. Here I live in San Pedro Garcia, which is like a smaller, part of the city. It's not exactly a suburb. No, it's like a city, but it's smaller. And, there's a complex called Arboleda, which is like this place where it's like there's like restaurants, there's a park, there's condominiums, there's like, and now there's a wellness center called OHM, like OUM, OHM Wellness Center. And it's like this first class like wellness center that's like first of its kind in Latin America, and I would even say like in the States, like with the concept that it has, like it's basically everything in one place. Like, it has like gym classes, like Pilates and yoga and all those things. It has restaurants. It's going to have a vegan restaurant, which I actually am coming from that. I had breakfast there. It's called Casa Macro. It's like the best vegan restaurant in Monterrey, Mexico. It's like amazing because it's like vegan, like Mexican food, but like really healthy and delicious and it's beautiful. And that restaurant is going to be like on the last floor, and it's got like a terrace for like events with like a little stage. It has health professionals there, like a doctor, a nutritionist, and a psychologist that make like this team, and like people that are members, they have access to like coaching with them. And then there's like a spa, there's a gym, and like it's like everything in one place. And I'm in charge of like workshops and like basically like I didn't know how to like describe my position because like I researched knowledge coordinator, and that's like very different. But basically like what I do there is like, it's called coordinador de conocimiento. Conocimiento is knowledge. So it's like basically like everything that has to do with learning, because like OHM is the space to move. It's a space to nurture yourself. It's a space to heal, and it's also the space to learn. So I'm in charge of everything that has to do with like learning in terms of health, like organizing workshops, bringing speakers, and like creating experiences, events. And I actually helped develop the recipes for the juice bar, because there's going to be a juice bar as well, and like a market and stuff like that, and a restaurant of its own, consulting on different things, like, for example, the kind of products that are going to be like, I don't know, like in the spa or anything, like it has to be supernatural, because it's like, I have like a very, very sensitive nose, in the sense that I can identify it when something is like fake, like artificial, or when it's natural. And yeah, like basically being of like helping them pick like some products and like what's included in like these this menu and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like basically helping out in any way I can. So it's really fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that place sounds amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's like I go to work every day and it's like, yay.
Wow. That's really wonderful. Oh, good for you. So you mentioned the spa and the cosmetics, because I know that you also have a background in like makeup and yeah, cosmetics. So I'd love if you can maybe share some tips or some suggestions on how people can make sure that the products they're using are vegan and cruelty free, and then also, you know, better for their skin and stuff, and maybe some other things.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I always say that the skin is like all, it's like the telltale of like the if anything is wrong with the body, like if anything is wrong with the body, the skin is gonna spit it out, and it's gonna be like, hey, look at me. But what happens is that when people have a problem with their skin, they usually go to a dermatologist. The dermatologist gives them a cream or treatment, which has nothing to do with the cause. And I used to have like terrible acne when I was growing up, and I went to countless dermatologists that wanted to put me on the Accutane. And I refused. I was like, no, like there's no way that I'm taking that. Like even before knowing like what I know now, but I was like, something in me was just like, I'm not going to take it. And then like years later, I was able to like completely get rid of it. But it was like, because of what's on my plate. And that's like insane. So it's like, the skin is always like, I mean, the creams and all those things, like awesome. Like I love making like my own face oils, like with rosehip oil and almond oil and all those things. But it's not going to matter. What you put on your skin is not going to matter if like what you're putting in your body like isn't like healthy. And also everything that you put on your skin gets absorbed in your body. So it's like, if you wouldn't eat it, like that's a bit extreme, but like basically like, yeah, like try to have the cleanest ingredients possible. And I love that like Sephora has been adding like cleanest Sephora brands, which I love. For example, Ilia is a really good brand. It's vegan, cruelty-free, and also like natural. Kosas, I also love that brand. Milk, also vegan. And there's all other brands that like aren't exactly like clean, but they're vegan, like Patrick Ta. Rare Beauty is also vegan. There's Makeup by Mario is also vegan. Like there's like all these, like basically a new brands, it's like there's no reason not to make it vegan. Like, I mean, like animal cruelty and cosmetics is like so like 2000, I don't know what, but it's like, it's just not in anymore. So it's like, if you don't make your product vegan, like you're like, I don't know, like it's, you are missing out from a like whole other market that like could be buying your product. So it's like animal cruelty is just not cool in 2023. So it never has been, but it's especially now, it's like, why? Like there's so many other things that you can be doing. So basically I get almost everything from those brands, or from, there's this Mexican brand called Ere Perez, which is also awesome. It's like Mexican, but then an Australian company, but I don't know how it works, but yeah. Basically there's a lot of options now. Back then it was a little bit more difficult to find. I mean, there's like Kat Von D, which has always been vegan, and like few other brands. I think that Fenty is also, I don't know, like I feel like all the new brands, they're all vegan because like they all know that there's no reason not to make it
right.
So basically it's like, I like to keep it as simple as possible, like just like getting like a good concealer, a good cream blush, like a brow gel or something. The mm-hmm. Kosas brow gel is awesome. And just like doing like the most like natural look as possible. Like I love that. And it's been a challenge for me because obviously I grew up with all the brands like MAC and NARS and like all those brands that like are not vegan and like obviously have like bad ingredients in them. Tarte is also a good, an awesome brand that's been like around for a while and vegan, cruelty-free, clean-ish, like not exact, not as much as like Kosas and Ilia are like the top, like the ones that are like 100% clean and 100% like vegan. Milk is awesome, but like they still like add fragrance to like some of their products, which I mean they're awesome products, but like not 100%. Like Tarte is like some products are like better than others, but it's still like a good brand. Okay. But yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura. Yeah. This has been wonderful. I have one more question for you. Tell me about your favorite hummus or your favorite way to eat hummus or both.
Okay. Yeah. Hummus is like, has a special place in my heart. Like I love it. It's so like versatile and I feel like you can just add it to like everything. Every time that I go like, I don't know, to like a gathering or something, I try to like bring like some homemade hummus with me. And there's this recipe that I tried a while ago. That's like this caramelized onion and bell pepper hummus. Ooh. Where it's like you caramelize onion and bell pepper. And then you can make your hummus like traditionally. Like I usually make it with like chickpeas, tahini, lemon juice. I try to make it oil free. So I just add the tahini. Mm-hmm. And then I add like sea salt, cumin, paprika, black pepper, and like all the spices. And then I add those like cooked, like caramelized onions and bell peppers into the blender with everything else. And it's so good. Like, I love it. It's like, it just gives it like this different kind of like taste. Yeah. And I also add some garlic because I hate raw garlic. Like I cannot stand like when it's like you, when it, someone like mixes the hummus like with raw garlic, it's like, no, because I hate, like, I don't know why for me, it's like, it's so like obvious that it's like, so whenever I use like whole garlic in something, I like, I don't know, I cook it first or something. Mm-hmm. I put it in the oven or something so that it cooks and it's not that like strong and spicy. Mm-hmm. I know that it has a lot of benefits, but my body just like doesn't tolerate it. So it's like onion and garlic. I always try to cook them. Raw onion is not that bad for me, but like raw garlic is like it's a bit much. But I like caramelize the onion with the bell peppers with a little bit of avocado oil and crushed garlic and toss them.
That sounds
actually amazing. Like really want to make it right now.
So me too. Yeah. Is that a recipe that you've created or one you found online that you could, or can you share it so we can put it in the show notes? Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I can send it to you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Please do. That sounds mm-hmm. wonderful. Yeah.
I mean, one of my faults is that I rarely like measure things.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, it's like basically like approximation. Maybe because it's like, yeah. I always throw things in together and then people are like, oh, like, can I have the recipe? And it's like, I just threw in like things in the pan. And it just... so it's like, I have to like remind myself to like, I have to measure things, but yeah, I'll find that recipe because like someone else posted it and then I like modified it and
I'll awesome. Thank you. I love just kind of tossing things together, but if you're tasting as you go, then it's okay to just have kind of a framework of knowing what should go in. And then you kind of play around with it and make it your own. So another more proof that there's so much creativity in what we're doing because we can taste everything from start to finish. There's no danger in eating a raw vegetable the way there is in consuming like raw animal flesh.
I get like a bit neurotic when like my mom is like cooking chicken in the kitchen. It's like I have to leave. Like I literally have to leave. Like it's like it drives me crazy because it's like grab the chicken and then it's like you have no idea. Like and the cutting boards, it's like I have my own and like oh my gosh, like it's just so much.
Right. That's another thing that we never have to worry about. There's no cross contamination. Yeah. When we're done chopping a potato, we can put an onion right on the thing or right on, you know, and broccoli right on the,
it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So it's like all those things. It's like, it's just so much better in that sense that we don't have to worry about like salmonella or stuff like that. I mean, So, another benefit.
Exactly. Yeah. Our kitchens are safer places for all beings.
Exactly. Exactly. No cruelty to humans or animals. Cause I always say that. Cause like, I know that there's like this kind of like war between like the plant-based vegans and the junk food vegans. And it's like, one is like, like against the other, but it's like, I feel like that's like pointless. It's like, we're all in here for, like, even if someone is just plant-based vegan and is not vegan for the animals, it's like, so they're not eating animals, they're not contributing to the cause, like, what do you care? Like, it's and it's like all these things also that I always, like, when people are like, oh, I don't care about my health, I just care about the animals, it's like, I would say, like, if you want to like be here for a long time defending the animals, it's like, gotta be healthy. And like, you gotta be healthy, because like, you gotta be like, like, just here fighting for, if you, if something happens to you, like, you're not going to be here, like, completing your mission to, like, you know, so it's, like, it's all connected in that sense that, that it's, like, it's not, like, vegan food is, like, off the menu totally, but it's, like, we can, like, start making these changes to, like, include more, not exclude, but, like, include more plant foods and, like, more whole foods and stuff like that. It's like, oh, I would die if I would have a Whole Foods here in Mexico. Like, I would live there. It's like always like a must, like tourist stop whenever I go to the States. It's like, I have to go to a Whole Foods. It's like, but yeah.
I get that. I don't have, I mean, I'm in New Jersey and I don't have a Whole Foods. I mean, it's not as far away as it would be for you, but the nearest Whole Foods for me is like an hour drive. And
Trader Joe's?
No, that one is just about as far. So I'm working with like standard, like ShopRite type grocery stores. And honestly, like, they're not Whole Foods where they have all these boutique brands.
But they have
But they have so many options.
Yeah,
so
same here.
Wherever you live, there are grocery stores that have vegetables, 100%. Rice, beans, and we can make it work no matter what.
Totally. It's always about like making it work and just with what you have. It's like, because a lot of times we're like, oh, if I would have this, or it's like, no, like with what you have, where you live, like what you have available to you. And it's like, happens a lot that like where some people live, like certain foods aren't in season or like aren't available. And it's like, well, you know, you can just like, you know, do what you have to do with like other food items. And so it's basically all about like being flexible and adapting to your environment.
And if we eat in season, then I love how I was like, okay, we're going to wind down. And like, nope, we've got more to talk about. When we're eating in season, I used to ignore that a lot. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I just want to have a tomato in January. Yeah. No, girl, you do not want to have a tomato in January in New Jersey.
I know.
But eating seasonally allows you to have a different menu throughout the year and try new things. And yes, it's like a almost like forcing you into the variety, but it doesn't feel bad because when we're eating in season, the food is fresh.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been trucked from, you know, thousands of miles away. And it's just a better experience. So like load up on the Brussels sprouts now. And by the time you're getting sick of them, it's time to start eating something different because they're not in season anymore.
Exactly. That's me right now with the Brussels sprouts. It's like, they're my weakness. I love them so much.
Me too.
So yeah, I'm going to have them today for lunch, actually.
I think they're part of, I'm having some gnocchi for dinner and I'm going to throw some Brussels sprouts in there because that sounds amazing.
Yes. Ah, gnocchi is so good. They actually made some like, you know, when I get together with my friends at my Marquesitos, like they always make a vegan option for me and they made gnocchi, but they added egg, which I find that egg is just so unnecessary. Like, it's just like, it's like so unnecessary in so many dishes. Like, you know, you could just add the potato with the flour and like, that's it. Like there's no need. There's no need. And it's like a lot of times, it's like a lot of, you know, baked goods that have egg. It's like, why? Like there's no need.
Many like you can just add like
flax egg or like, there's just so many other options that like don't require the egg. And it's like, I mean, I find that it's like, it's just like, it's crazy because it's one of those things that are just so unnecessary. Like mm-hmm. when things have egg, it's like, and also like I can always smell like when something has egg, if you smell a muffin that has egg, you're going to get like the most disgusting, like egg flavor, like ever. I mean, like egg smell ever. It's disgusting. I hate whenever they make egg in my house, which is like also another cool thing that like my family, I never imposed veganism on them, but like it grows on them because it's like I make something and they like it. And like, mm-hmm. obviously it's very different from what they're eating every day. And it's like, they get inspired and it's like, it took me years, but finally I stopped buying like dairy in my mm-hmm. house. Like all my like siblings and stuff, like they all like eat, like drink almond milk. They have smoothies every day instead of like eggs and stuff. Oh,
that's awesome.
And yeah, like they eat vegan a couple times a week, maybe when I prepare, and like they try to like they're more conscious, and it's like this ripple effect that's really mm-hmm. nice. That, like a lot of my friends and stuff, like they're not vegan, but like they're trying to be more vegan and like just, you know,
yeah.
it's a positive impact. So it's yep. like, and Dan Buettner even says like get a vegan friend. Like if you get a vegan friend, you're going to be healthier automatically because they're mm-hmm. going to take you to the vegan restaurants and they're going to like cook for you and stuff like, so yeah, we're good candidates to be, to be good friends. So yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So people listening, like, grab yourself a vegan friend because
it's 100%
good for your health.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laura. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Kim, so much for the invitation. It's been so much fun talking to you. And yeah, I hope to do this again sometime soon.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Welcome back. From documentaries that inspired Laura's move to veganism, to beauty products, to tips on making veganism a lifelong adventure, we covered so much in this episode. You can find links to the documentaries and products mentioned in the show notes. To connect with Laura, follow her on Instagram at plantbased.max. I hope you found this episode helpful and inspiring. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving it, please give Did You Bring the Hummus a 5-star rating. It's an easy way to keep supporting the show. You're also invited to join my free private Facebook group for fans of the show. You can find the link in the show notes. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Did You Bring the Hummus. Visit my website at didyoubringthehummus.com for more information about me, updates on what I'm working on, new podcast episodes, and all things vegan. Finally, I would love to hear from you. What do you need help with? Is there a topic you want to hear covered on a future episode? DM me on Instagram or send me an email at didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.